Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He is rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. The very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
Time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip inside his head, mind, and soul, and listen to this week's comments from Les Visible.
Ooh, and Merry, Merry Christmas. I'm considering all of this on the solstice. Or let us say on that day that signifies the birth of the sun, and that is fitting because that is when the Sun King, the true Sun King, not Louis, whatever his name or number was, rather, was allegedly born, and this implies to us that such things are cyclic and reoccur at specific intervals. The Sun King is also the Avatar, and he washes the worlds of form with his effulgent light. The worlds of form tend to get dirty and fouled with the darker impulses of, well, the collective of humanity when they have lost their way. Perhaps it is better said as they are led astray. Some of us are looking beyond this veil of tears, often in an interior fashion for the way out. That is actually the way in, and some of us are looking to cozy up with the agents of darkness, which we will accomplish by helping to lead others astray. I hope this clarifies a few things. We said it many times here that these are trying times. This is counterpointed by that wonderful degree of difficulty feature, which tells us that when times are strange and difficult, we get benefits to a very high level because we persevered in times of grave darkness and deceit. We persevered. We did not give up. And the payback on that is far more than it would be in times of greater light. This is what we need to remind ourselves of when we have come to some sort of frustrating cul-de-sac or blind alley. When despair threatens and we can see no way out. It has been proven over and over again in the lives of those whose stories have been left as footprints for us to follow. How often does it prove out that it is really darkest before the dawn? This is the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to the wonderful allegorical stories, suffered every agony and abuse for us and asked forgiveness for us because we did not know what we do. I can talk about Jesus Christ today because these are the days of the birth of the light, which was and is and always will be the birth of the Christ. What is it that Scripture says? It's something about Christ being the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And that was followed by, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's a lot to be gleaned by these phrases, and I suspect they go right by many of us. We look so long at things that soon enough we cease to look into them. It is being said that the world was made by him. We don't process a lot of the whole affair. If he and the Father are one, then that says that he and the Father are one. So if the Father is the maker of all things, then Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, is also involved in the same, and that would explain the term, "Before Abraham was I." And also the one about how he is the stone that the builder rejected. If we do not have the light, we are in darkness. And if we are in darkness, then we can't see anything. We can only imagine what is or appears to be. How well has that worked out in terms of true identification of anything that we later came to understand was not at all what we thought it was when it was what we once imagined it to be? Jesus Christ, it is said, came into manifestation some 2,000 years ago. There's no historical record of him. There are many references made to his presence here, but nothing that includes a photo shoot or eyewitness testimonies. Since we've got plenty of those in Scripture, references there is, but it seems that most of the Scripture was written much later on, after Jesus was gone, and most of them were written by men who had never met Jesus Christ, depending on whatever credence you give to the then-named Saul on the road to Damascus. I don't personally need historical proof of Jesus Christ. I have the words of Paramahansa Yogananda and the experiences of Ramakrishna as well, and also the statements of saints, mystics, and visionaries across the ages. There are oracles that I trust, and many of them never met any of the rest of them. They are, however, consistent in their commentary about what it was like to have encountered Jesus Christ in whatever manner they did. To me, all the proof I need can be found in the words and life experiences of those whose existence was transformed by their meeting with Jesus Christ. Over the course of the last however many thousands of years, many souls have come to the illuminated station of the consciousness of the living Christ. The majority of these were separated by a vast distance of time and space, yet they had such remarkably similar experiences. Christ has appeared to men and women across a huge gamut of circumstances. He has been found in prisons and places of horrific extremity. He has appeared in the disordered lives of alcoholics, drunks, drug addicts, and prostitutes. Although I guess drunks and alcoholics are the same. There you go for impromptu visible. He has appeared in the homes of the rich and the privileged. He has most assuredly appeared on the battlefield. And as we famously recall in the life of a notorious slaver out on a stormy ocean, the result of that evening was the composition of the song Amazing Grace. It's said that he freed all of his captive slaves once he came to shore. I've been thinking of this event, and so I went on the internet and did some research and discovered the story of the man who wrote Amazing Grace was, to some degree, a fabrication, and that he had gotten up to all sorts of unusual activities afterwards. Henry Ford once said, "History is bunk." I've come to understand that is profoundly true. Most of everything we think we know is just made-up nonsense, and badly made-up nonsense at that. We don't know much of anything. We only know what we have read and have been told and decided that we would believe. What we know from the historical record of every household name are only the things constructed by paid shills whose job is to make these people seem wonderful and heroic when they were often neither. It doesn't matter to me if there's no proof whatsoever about Jesus Christ. Singular and exceptional individuals who have had a lasting mark, empirically speaking so, singular and exceptional individuals who have left a lasting mark upon the world are convinced of his existence and live according to his teachings. This is the beauty of the Sun King, who rides off from the center of his kingdom, surrounded by angels who soar on waves of majestic musical beauty, so wondrous that only occasionally portions of it might be heard. For the most part, it exists beyond the range of the human ear and cannot be experienced by mortals. He flies out of the sun and into every welcoming heart, and he does this without ever leaving the sun because he fills all of creation. There would be no creation without him. I am confident speaking of Christ today, even though I am not a Christian. I don't feel a great deal in common with the usual Christians, and there is one prevailing reason for this, and that is their resistance to the understanding that God lives in the center of every religious system, whether it is Buddhist or Hindu or Mohammedan, and I'm sure there are others as well. I am sure I have said or written this before, but I will say it again. When he was still a young man, the great Hindu saint, Ramakrishna, entered into every major religion and experienced enlightenment in each one and declared them all to be the same. This takes nothing away from the beauty and mystery of Christ, and it adds nothing unless the purpose of that somehow adds to a greater understanding of Christ in the hearts and minds of those so inclined to this end. I am prepared to love God in whatever form God chooses to appear in, and no form at all should that be the case. At a certain level, I am convinced that God is love, but in a way far, far beyond the usual understanding of the meaning of the word love. In my mind, love is not only the emotion that is experienced in every heart, open to the sincerity of its expression, but is also a living entity that never dies. This is one of the great and enduring promises of love. Some might call them hopes of love, that we never lose anyone whom we truly love. I believe that every great master, sage, or saint, true mystic, and conscious immortal, has in the heart of them a great reservoir of love, a vast and immeasurable reservoir of love, which one might drown in at will, and the extent of which one will never know more than a small portion of. It is enough to be going along for the ride. Speaking of which, most of us have seen the chariot that is seemingly being driven by Arjuna, yet behind Arjuna is the glorious figure of Krishna, who is the charioteer, regardless of appearances to the contrary. There is little more than coincidence to the similarity between the names of Krishna and Christ. As we like to say here, as often as we get the chance, appearances are a lie. It is not terribly important whether we know that these appearances are manifested for malicious purposes or simply the eternal expression of ideas coming in a material form and then ceasing to be or transforming into something else. The important concern is that appearances lie about what they represent. Fundamentally, they change, so they were only temporarily what they were, and even then they were not what they were. They only seemed to be. The point of bringing this up is that it applies to everything. Everything we see and everything we think we see. Everything we hear and everything we think we hear. It is all some form of some amount of degrees of separation. And we don't need Kevin Bacon in the mix. Enter Jesus Christ. As any metaphysician knows, after the descent of the Spirit of God upon Jesus, Jesus became God realized. Christ did. Within the human structure of his being. An exponential awareness came upon him, and he knew himself as his true self, which is the case with any of us in the potential sense. We are a step away from stepping across a seemingly impassable gulf that is only as wide as our fear, and projected into that imaginary distance by the mind playing God and falling short. For as long as we think we know, we have rendered the Almighty as one who does not know. We have preempted the one immeasurable and replaced him with something constructed within the parameters of our own personal limitations. At no time will this ever work. There is nothing of value unknown to Jesus Christ. He is a light within us all. As we have also said here many times, Buddha is the mind in its clarity of reflecting the divine, and Jesus is the heart as it hosts the divine. In all cases, whether reflecting it or hosting it, it is Jesus within us that is illuminated by the incomprehensible within. We do not need to know all that God knows, nor could we ever. We only need to know that God knows all and is never more than a request away concerning anything we need to know whenever we need to know it. More beautiful than this is that the ineffable knows well beforehand all that we need and seek to know. It's a perfect system, as long as we are perfectly in possession of the visceral knowing that we do not know. We don't have to. Yet once more, Christmas is upon us. And yet once more again, the Christ child seeks to be born in our hearts and lift us up forever out of this veil of tears. We might still come and go here, but there will be no sorrow attendant. The truth is that Jesus Christ overcame everything. He overcame death, and he overcame hell. He overcame everything on our behalf. We only have to recognize this and to live in the sunlight of his eternally shining love. I wish for all of you that you will find this under your tree, or in a location even more appropriate, on Sunday or someday very soon. It is a short jump from beneath the tree to within your heart. One might look into the significance of the Christmas tree in any case as well. Allow me to extend here a joyous and Merry Christmas to our good friend James Jancic and to all of the readers out there, and to thank you for coming here and experiencing our poor efforts at trying to make sense out of everything we're going through. In any case, all right, my friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week if there is one. That's it. Much love, Lady Nature. Hare Krishna. Om Amitabha. Micham Ambu Guru Bawa. Greetings, my good friend Lord Ganesh. Bismillah Irrahman Irrahim. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha. And
he's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. It can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSync Radio Network of Stations.